Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. One verse here says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it." Father, pray you'd bless the time that we have together today. Thank you for this great church, these good people. Pray that you'd bless and help us be instructed from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible says, blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And got thinking some, you know, what does it mean to be blessed of God? Certainly, if you spend any time at all reading your Bible, I appreciate that great Sunday school message this morning, but if you spend any time at all reading your Bible, one of the things you discover fairly quickly is that God blesses people who follow him and obey his will. And, you know, whether you're reading in Deuteronomy, you know, I set before you this day a blessing and a blessing if you do this and a curse if you do that, or you've got one hill and another hill, and just, I mean, all the way through the Bible, you don't have to be a serious Bible student. You don't really have to seek God much. If you just read this book a little bit, you pretty well come up with the idea that God blesses people that obey him. God blesses people that follow his will. If you turn over, and let's use our Bible some, if you turn over into Romans chapter 8, a pretty familiar passage here, it talks about, I probably should have marked these. I guess one of the things I didn't do with switching sermons is mark these things. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are, who are the called according to his purpose." And you know, familiar verse, we know God works out everything for good if we love him and are the called according to his purpose. Down in verse 32, "He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And certainly Bible teaches, I mean, you know, if God loved me enough to give me his own son to die for me, he's going to give me anything that's good for me. You know, sometimes I might want to do good things for people, but I might be limited in my ability to do good things for people. You know, I see somebody that's sick, I think, boy, I'd like to heal them, but I don't have that ability. Here's somebody with financial issues, I think, boy, I'd like to just pay that bill for them, but I don't have that ability. And but God has no restraint on his ability, and it says that he'll do anything for us that's good. I mean, he'll give us everything we need. Verse 32. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can be separated from a lot of things in life, but you can never be separated from the love of God. You can lose the blessing of God in your life. You can lose the joy of the Lord. You know, David prayed, "Restore to me the joy of my of thy salvation." You can lose your joy. You can lose some things in life. You can lose your health. But you can never lose the love of God. And that's always with us. Nothing is going to be able to separate me from the love of God. And I know the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, as you think about that and some, you know, starting to work through it a little bit and thinking then, okay, if the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it, and God's going to give me anything that's good and everything else, you know, how does that work out in my life? I do know this. I've been serving God, trying to serve God pretty much for 40 years, and certainly am not perfect, and I sin, and I fall short of the goals that I have for myself, and I go to the altar at times, and I go to the altar regularly and kneel and pray and say, God, help me to do better, and then I have to, you know, and sometimes when I was younger, I used to think, good, now I got that settled, that's over, never going to have to deal with that again, but I did have to deal with it again. And certainly, you know, I struggle with things in my life, and I struggle, I mean, with everything. But I do know this. I've been trying to serve God for pretty much for 40 years. Was ordained into the gospel ministry May of 1972. And since then, I've been an ordained Baptist preacher, been trying to serve God. And I know this, there's nothing that brings any more joy in life than serving God. It's a joy to sit out there and watch the girls up here and sing and testify and think of the investment that we've been able to have in their lives, and to think of watch them sing and sing with smiles on their faces, in some cases when I know heartaches that they're dealing with in their personal life. It's a joy to watch Chad Gordon get up and testify, and you know, hear Brother Jerry Ross talk about the years and the influence. There's nothing like the blessing of serving God in life. Say, what does it mean to be blessed of God? Well, the word blessed means happy or joyful. Say, does that mean everything's always going to be going good? No, not necessarily. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. A blessed life, I wrote down a definition. A blessed life is a life that brings joy in this world and in heaven. That may not always be the best circumstances or the circumstances that you and I would hope for. I mean, you and I would hope that we would always have good health, that our loved ones would always have good health, that you know, we'd always have enough money, we'd always have plenty to eat, we'd always have a nice place to stay, that everything, you know, would work out great in life. But that's not necessarily the blessing of God. A blessed life, I think, is a life that brings joy in this world and in heaven. Do not confuse the things that God gives you to enjoy or that you have to enjoy with the blessing of God on your life. I mean, you can get out of God's will and make a bunch of money and have a lot of things and be very wealthy, but not have the blessing of God on your life. I mean, you look at a fellow like Elvis Presley. I mean, going back years ago, and in my time, so on, and, you know, they, I mean, he had all the wealth, fame, power, fortune, anything you could want in this world, and he died miserable, overdosed on drugs without a friend in the world that he could count on. I mean, you know, was he blessed? No way. Would I want to wind up like that? Not, absolutely not. Did he have all the money you could want? He had more than he wanted. And I heard somebody they had a documentary on him on television one night, and heard somebody else, another singer or something, saying that, you know, Elvis told me once, you know, maybe I'd have been better off if I'd have just stayed in that Baptist church and kept singing that way and never gotten into all this. And that wasn't a Christian that was saying that. It was maybe Nancy Sinatra, somebody like that, was, you know, it was a documentary type thing. And she was talking that Elvis had said that to her, and he would have been better off. He might have had the blessing of God on his life instead of finances. Now, sometimes, you know, things work out and God blesses and we wind up with plenty of money. But not always. Certainly Paul, the apostle, was blessed by God. But did somebody put that? I'm going to use a little of this. I'm sorry, but that'll make it hopefully easier for you to listen to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, Paul had the blessing of God on his life. I mean, everybody would agree with that. There's nobody really much in the New Testament age that's had, or since the death of Christ, that's had that kind of blessing of God on his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't know what that is. Verse 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. Now here's Paul, the one blessed by God. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. I mean, I thought he had the blessings of God in his life. Why? What was he doing in prison? I thought you're supposed to be living in a nice house, driving a fancy sports car, everything, you know, good health, everything going good. But he had God's blessing on his life. He says, you know, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and it goes on and on. Paul says, verse 30, if I must glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. You know, Paul was blessed by God, but he had shipwrecks. He wound up in jail. He was beaten. He had a thorn in the flesh. It hurt him. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. He wound up being martyred. 2 Timothy 4. You know, on the other hand, Solomon had everything this world could give him, but he was miserable. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 9, 10, 11, 17. Until he decided the purpose of God was to serve God, the purpose of life was to serve God, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, he was miserable. I mean, now, you say, oh, Brother Jorgensen, then maybe I don't want God's blessing. No, I want God's blessing on my life. Now, sometimes, you know, because God loves us, he gives us nice things to enjoy. Sometimes, because God loves us, he sends us heartache and misery. Brother Fugit has said, you say more, I think first few years we were there, he'd say quite a bit. You know, God's purpose is not your happiness or my happiness. God's purpose is my growth and my holiness and my being able to be used of him. And as far as that goes, if I can get to the point in my life that, is there a mic I can pick up? Can I just use this and I can move around? I think that'll work. We'll see. Is that working? Can you hear me out there? Is that working? Okay, I'll just... Will that work? I like moving around some. But if God's, if God's purpose in my life, if I can get to the point in my life where my goal is to get to be used of God, to help people, to see people saved, to be a blessing and encouragement, to help people live a more holy, pure life, and to help them have the blessing of God on their life, then it doesn't matter to me so much what kind of house I live in, or what kind of car I drive, or how expensive my clothes are. And sometimes, even preachers nowadays, we're getting to the point where we're talking about how much we paid for our suits, and what kind of cars we have, and where our investment portfolios and everything else. And there's nothing wrong with having expensive suits, and there's nothing wrong with having nice cars, and there's nothing wrong with having investments. But that's not the focus of life. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things he'll add unto you. Matthew 6:33, at least real close to that. And only King James Bible, but sometimes the memory doesn't work King James all the time. And but anyhow, John the Baptist wound up being beheaded. Was he blessed of God? Absolutely. Joseph, I believe, was blessed by God while he was in the prison just as much as while he was in the palace. Again, if I can get to the point in my life spiritually where it's not what I have here that matters to me, but what I'm building up there,
amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Then
most of what happens here won't matter. 100 years from tonight, guarantee it, every one of us won't be in heaven forever or hell forever. I expect in a church like this on a Sunday morning out here, just about everyone, if not every one of us in here this morning, is going to be in heaven forever 100 years from tonight. And when we get there, it won't make much difference for the rest of eternity whether we lived in a huge house or a little house or rented a two-room apartment. What's going to matter is that we got saved and what we did for Christ. And if I can say, God used me today, that's a blessing of God. If I feel like I helped somebody today, that's God's blessing. Again, oftentimes God gives us things to enjoy because he loves us. Sometimes God gives us heartache because he loves us. I think it's true that God, many times at least, will not give you things to enjoy until you get to the point that they're not what matters to you.
Well, that's good. That's good.
My wife and I, when I asked my wife and I to marry me, I thought I was on the way to my way to the mission field. I was finishing up in my second year in seminary, Tennessee Temple Seminary back then when Dr. Robertson was running it. Totally different school than it is today. Wouldn't send a dog there today. But in 1969, when I finished secular college, wasn't right with God when I went there either, but when I finished secular college and was looking for a seminary, it was a place to go. It was the hottest thing, it was the hottest thing around, baptizing a couple thousand a year and everything else. And so anyhow, I finished that up second year, and I thought I was on my way to the mission field. And I was thinking we were headed to Upper Amazon in Brazil. And I remember saying, as we were getting serious about dating, saying, now, Marilyn, I think God's leading me to the mission field. We may wind up living in a mud house with a dirt floor. And if that's not okay with you, then we need to cut this off. And she said, oh, it wouldn't matter anywhere just to be with you. And we laughed. But that's essentially what she said, because we did get married.
Right.
Now, we live in a beautiful house, big house. And
drive a couple of 3-4 year old cars that are in good shape, can buy most of what I'd like, not everything, but I mean, you know, they're individual things. My son, who teaches for me, said, you know, Dad, I think sometimes people, you know, the students look at you and Brother Fugit and people like that, and they say, well, if I just, you know, put in my time and stay faithful, sooner or later I'll wind up like that. And you may, but you may not either. There's certainly a lot of men, better men than I am, going to have more reward in heaven than I will, that don't have the material possessions we have. But I didn't get into the ministry to have nice things. That wasn't my goal at all. I'm not going to get out of it if we lose it.
Right.
And as far as that goes, day may come now in this country. I mean, who knows? We may be in jail before this thing's over. I don't know what's going to happen. But I decide it's not what here that matters. It's what's up there that matters. Where I live here doesn't make that much difference. I'm going to live eternity in a different house. I want to. Why put up things here that are going to rust and corrupt and decay? And I know in 60 years old, 10, 15, 20, 30, you know, if I live 40 more years, sooner or later I'm leaving it. Probably won't live that long. But I don't want to hold on to it too tight because it's temporal. Things that are not seen are eternal. And, you know, the blessing of God. You know, it didn't wind up great for Paul or William Carey or a lot of preachers today or for Jesus, as far as that goes. He had blessings of God in his life. I mean, he was God. He wound up being crucified. Again, it'll be interesting. We were in a church the other day, last Sunday, I think it was. Had a fellow they got done singing the choir special. And this was in North Carolina at the end of the choir special. Maybe it was in the middle of it, or the opener. Anyhow, someplace it was the opener special. Anyhow, he started testifying, Brother, you know, preacher, I just want to praise God. He saved me, got me out of sin, and saved my life, turned it around. I thank Jesus for everything he did for me. And he's just going on and on. I'm thinking, I wonder if that's going to happen while I'm preaching. And I wasn't sure how I was going to deal with that. But he testified for a little bit. And then come find out, he ran his bus route that morning before he got in to sing in the choir while his wife was home dying of cancer. Had somebody saved off the bus down the aisle while his wife's home dying of cancer. And I said to the girls, I think we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven and God starts passing out rewards. Now,
amen.
Yeah, but I want to serve God. I want to do something that's going to make a difference in life. Who knows how things are going to turn out in ministry if you wind up getting in your life. But the material possessions sure aren't what it's about. And that is not what it means to be blessed by God. Some people have health issues and, long-term health things and so on. They're not blessed with good health. No, they're blessed with a long-term illness in some cases. I don't know why. God wants to use it. Testify. Again, I want to do God's will. I want God's will. I want to be able to serve him. I want to be able to, like the girl's saying here, I want to sing his praise in my cheerful days when the blessings, so-called, outweigh the heartaches by far. But when things are going wrong and the people in this world, the wisest of this world, say there's no hope, I don't have an answer, I want to still be able to sing his praise. Because God's good all the time. He never changes. And God's goal is not our pleasure or to give us, you know, God's goal is to help us be like him. God's goal is to help us be useful. God's goal is to work on our hearts. And I want to seek, I want to find, I want to do God's will for my life. Romans 12 talks about the good, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to spend my life trying to find God's will. And I'm put together a couple of messages here, and this getting into, you know, how do you find God's will? You know, some of you, we've talked about it. You know, I want to do God's will. I certainly do. You know, I believe that if you want to do God's will, God's going to show it to you. Most of God's will is not hard to figure out at all. I mean, you don't have to pray. I wonder if it's God's will for me to go back to church tonight. You know, I wonder if it's God's will for me to read my Bible today. I wonder if it's God's will for me to be polite to my wife and nice, or should I yell at her and fuss at her? I mean, you know, I'm a preacher, but I'm still human. And most of God's will is real clear. Somebody said, you know, if we do all we knew to be God's will, you know, maybe God would show us more. But anyhow, what do I do if I'm trying to find God's will for my life? Well, I'll ask myself, first, you know, what I'm thinking, does the Bible have a command that deals with this? And in some cases, it's real clear, or a Bible principle. Not only that you can find a Bible verse that says go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, three to thrive, Dr. Robertson said forever, but it's not a Bible verse. But it is a Bible principle.
Amen.
You know, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as a matter of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Ought to be going more to church, if anything, as we get towards the end of the world. And so, you know, you've got Bible commands, you've got Bible principles. Then, you know, as you're thinking about what am I going to do in my life, whether you're talking about a lifetime decision, a time decision, you know, what am I going to do Saturday morning? What am I going to do, Thursday evening? Well, what's it going to do for eternity?
Yeah.
Is this going to put me rewards here, put me rewards in eternity? Is this going to accomplish something long term, or is this going to accomplish nothing? I like to watch Sunday afternoon football in the fall. It's kind of hard to watch it in the summer, but I guess with NFL Network, you probably can. And, I've got a way, you know, where does this fit in? Big Green Bay Packer fan. And, Green Bay is God's team because they have his initial right there on their helmet. Big G there on the helmet for those of you who don't follow football at all. I'm a big Green Bay Packer fan. But that ain't going to change eternity. They're playing Super Bowl. Well, maybe I'll stay home from church watching, you know, maybe once again, someday. Maybe I'll stay home from church Sunday night. No. Because I've got to think about what is it going to do for eternity. What am I going to do with my life? One of the reasons why, as far as that goes, is to get back to, you know, your preacher and I and many others would say you ought to give God at least a year at Bible college. It's going to help you do more for eternity. If you stay a layman in the church, it's going to help you with eternal things. But what kind of an eternal impact is this going to have? Again, I want God's blessing on my life. I want to do God's will. If I'm trying to find God's will for my life, I'm going to spend, or for a major decision in my life, if I'm trying to think about who to marry, I'm going to spend more time reading my Bible. You say, well, are there specific verses in there? No, I just want to spend more time with God. So that hopefully I'll start thinking like he thinks and let the mind of Christ be in me, and that God would then guide my mind to make a decision that he would want me to make.
Amen.
Because my goal in life isn't to do what I want. I know God's blessing is going to be on me if I do his will. And so I want to find what is God's will for my life as I'm making decisions in my life. I'm going to spend more time reading my Bible. I'm going to spend more time praying about that and just in general. I'm going to go soul winning more because the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. And I need God's wisdom on my life. And so I'm going to spend more time in soul winning if I'm making major decisions. I'm going to try and find out all I can about the different alternatives if I'm trying to, you know, make way business decisions or a financial decision or, so many different kinds of decisions. And you get in, at some point in there, I'm going to try and get a bunch of counsel. And I mean, I never make a major decision in my life or a significant decision in my life without getting counsel. I called our pastor a week or two ago, a couple of weeks ago, about some things and said, you know, preacher, if you've got a little bit of time, I need some advice here. And would like to run some things by you. I've got some, didn't have anything to do with the college, didn't have anything, just about me. Because I had some decisions to make, and so I was trying to get some advice from him. Say, why would you do that? Because, you know, I think he is close to God. I'm trying to find out what God knows. I think he has a lot of experience. I think he knows he's been working with people for years. And, you know, God, he's seen things that work and he's seen things that don't work. And he's going to know more Bible. He's going to have experience. He's going to be close to God. He may know things that, sometimes about choices that you don't know. And again, you know, preaching all this, but you know, the preacher may well, or your advisor may well know things you don't know. He's going to be more objective and be able to see things that I don't see because I get involved in it. Had one of the young ladies in the college Friday night, I think. It was Friday night or Thursday night. The only 2 week nights I've been there this week. And came in to see me 9, 10 o'clock and starting to date or court or whatever word you want to use, or chaperoned and the same. I mean, you know, we all do the same thing. We just use two different words for it, I think. And, but anyhow, so she was starting to, you know, they're sitting together and in chaperone situations and talking together and, you know, that kind of thing. And she said, well, Brother Jorgensen, what do you think of this relationship? Do you have any thoughts about it? So why would she do it? Well, I mean, my other thing is I'm going to be more objective about that than she is right now because she's kind of getting emotionally involved. And she's trying to find God's will for her life. She's trying to find the guy that God wants her to marry. And she, as far as that goes, in her case, she's been through a bumpy one or two that didn't work out. And, you know, and so on. And so at this point, she's saying, I want God's will. You know, and so she's coming in and saying, what would I do? And you know, that just, if I'm trying to find what God would want me to do, Proverbs 20 and verse 18, Proverbs 15, 22, Proverbs 3, 7, talk about you know, the importance of counsel in making decisions. You know, my counselors are going to see, if I'm trying to make a financial decision, I've got people I call about finances. And I say, you know, what do you think I should do with it? Would this be a good decision for me? Would this be a good house to buy? Would this be a good area to live in? Would I, you know, what about structure? And some of all that, I still run by my pastor because he's my pastor and he's God's man. And I just believe in getting counsel and saying, you know, so we looked at one or two houses when we were buying in Lexington. And one of them, Brother Fugit, said, no, I wouldn't buy that one because of this. Another one, he just said, no, I'm not sure why. He just said, no, I wouldn't buy there. I said, oh, okay. So cross that one off and look for something else. And God, you know, we wound up again with a wonderful situation on that. You ought to get counsel as you're trying to find God's will. You want to try and find somebody who'd be an expert in the field or a true friend and your parents and your pastor and, you know, continue to counsel with people like that in finding God's will. Because if I can find God's will, then I'm going to wind up with the blessing of God on my life.
That's good.
You know, it's... You know, if most time, I think, if our goal in life is to be happy, we wind up being unhappy. Because we never quite get everything. Who was it? Ford or somebody that's, you know, somebody asked him, how much money does it take to make you happy? Or Rockefeller? Maybe Rockefeller. How much money does it take to make you happy? And he said, a little more. Regardless of how much you have, it's always a little more. On the other hand, I've heard Russell Anderson say, the joy in life comes from serving God. Multi-millionaire, buy anything he wants to buy, live anywhere he wants to live. Is that what makes you happy, Doc? No, joy in life comes from serving God.
Yes, sir.
Is what he said. So if I'm going to take that advice, then I want to serve God because I want God's. I want the joy of the Lord. I want to be able to live for Him and be able to sit down and say. Somebody said, too, at the end of the day, the question isn't what are you thankful for, but who's thankful for you? And if I can go home and say, I think I helped somebody today.
Hey.
I think they're thankful for me today. I tell you, it doesn't hurt then to get to be 60 years old and be able to travel around the country with a fine group of young ladies who love the Lord and want to serve Him and come across person after person after person who say it. Who say, I was under your ministry and you were a blessing and a help to me. I mean, that's kind of nice. And God tosses in some toys just to enjoy here and there. The toys aren't what's important. The importance, the thing that's important in life is being able, when you get to be 60 or older, you'll be able, you want to be able to look out and say, I helped somebody.
Amen.
Somebody got saved.
Amen. That's right.
You know, was able, joy of the Lord. You know, we went out soul winning one day this summer. I like keeping my soul winning stories fresh too. I went out this summer with a tour group and different one we weren't having. Sometimes pastors, when we go out like that, they'll send us to the areas I think that, you know, we couldn't get anybody in here. Maybe you can. Or we never send our members out there because they don't see results. We'll send you over there. We haven't hit that area in a long time. And I don't care if you get discouraged or not. And so anyhow, you know, we kind of had one of those. And but saw a 13-year-old boy walking down the street and couldn't find. I said, hey, I'm going to talk to this one, my wife. And I walked up and talked to him. He'd been looking. Been trying to go to this religious thing and that religious thing, and was so eager to get saved. I said, well, that's God used me today. What are you going to trade for that? They don't make the car.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
That I trade for the blessing of God on my life. They don't make the house that be worth getting out of God's will. You'll find as you get older in life, I think, that almost all of your heartache, I mean the real heartache in life, is going to come when either you, or in my case, when the big heartaches in my life come when either I or somebody I love dearly does stuff that they knew was wrong. But on the other hand, if you say, God, I want to do your will. You wind up with the blessing of God, and it maketh rich. You may have some bumps and diseases and hurts and shipwrecks, but it's still true, the blessing of God, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Let's pray. Father, help us to live for you, seek your face, to go after you like we heard in Sunday school, to want to find you and find your will for our life. Thank you for the joys that you give us as we serve you and the nice things that we enjoy. And thank you for the heartaches, because we know in light of eternity, it's all working out for good. Help us to be faithful to you and to live for you, we pray. Give us victory over temptation. Give us a desire to seek your face. In Jesus' name.